Hello, another week, another licking. Welcome back to Wiki Lickers. Today, your host, the wonderful, the fantastic. It's a Gabby. And then we also have Dustin or Defiant.
You know me, it's Dustin. Yep.
Yeah. And then we've got a good old Nipperino.
Hello, it's Nip.
It's Nip. And then finally, our leader is, I'm drum rolling. You can't hear it, but I'm drum rolling. It's Craig.
Hello, sir.
I'm reluctant to accept that.
Like a good leader. Okay. Today's topic, actually, it's going to be a guessing game. And we're going to see if, you listeners could guess what our topic is by asking simple questions. So, Dustin, when was a time that you felt like our topic? Without giving it away, without the word, but just describe it. When was the last time you felt like this?
The last time or just a time?
A time.
I'm going to say probably right after high school and then most of my 20s.
I can definitely see that being a thing. I also felt like that. Nip, what is your favorite part of this topic?
I think it's enjoyable because it's the kind of word that seems playful to whenever you're cutting up with a friend and maybe you call them a little name.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little bit humorous, but then there's a deeper meaning that like per usual with Wiki Lickers, when we start learning about it, it's probably a little dark.
Very true. And then finally, Craig, what's your least favorite thing about this topic?
My least favorite thing?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the people on the other side of it, actually. So it's like involved with it, but not it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, dear listener, if you haven't already figured this out, today we're talking about peasants.
Wow.
Peasants. Wow.
Woo. Exactly. I could be like, hey, Gabby, you're a peasant. And it's not like totally negative. It's just like a little bit funny.
I think I would enjoy being called a peasant because I feel like it's just accurate to my everyday life.
It's like the opposite of being called bougie.
Yeah. We are all corporate slaves at the end of the day, are we not?
I think we might be.
And what is a corporate slave if not peasant?
Modern day peasant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'll just go ahead and get started with the first paragraph here, if that's okay. That's okay. I'm jumping in. So
I'm waiting for the boss.
Oh, okay. Craig, am I allowed to jump in, leader?
If I respond to that title, then that makes me the boss, and I don't want to do that.
I'm just saying there's three peasants here, and there's one leader.
Come on, my lord.
Dear lord, may I please start this topic?
We could start, but not as me being lord.
I'm too bad. Yes, my lord, I will do as you say. All right. So jumping in. A peasant is a pre-industrial agriculture laborer or a farmer with limited land ownership, especially one living in the Middle Ages, under the feudalism and paying rent, tax fees, or services to a landlord. In Europe, three classes of peasants existed: slave, serf, and free tenant. Peasants might hold title to land either in fee simple. A fee simple or fee simple absolute is an estate in land, a form of freehold ownership. A fee is a vested inheritance. Okay, that makes sense. Or by any of the several forms of land tenure, among them socage, quit rent and leasehold, and copy hold. These are a lot of terms I've just never heard of before. I'm not gonna lie. In some context, peasant has a pejorative meaning, even when referring to farm laborers. As early as in the 13th century Germany, the concept of peasant could imply rustic as well as robber. Oh, the English term. Ooh, yeah, I know. As the English term villain or vilin. Why is that funny?
So it's saying that poor people are evil?
Yeah, I mean... Oh my goodness. If you say so, leader. If you say so, my dear lord.
You may proceed.
All
Poor is evil. That sounds very American of us. That's great.
Yeah, I love that we're really taking it back to our roots. In 21st century English, the word peasant can mean an ignorant, rude, or unsophisticated person. Though, oh man, Nip, you're just calling everyone a peasant?
I didn't mean to.
That seems kind of mean.
See, this is the thing. I thought it was sort of humorous, no big deal. And then I learn about it and I find out I'm terrible. This happens every time we do this almost.
Oh no. I don't think you're terrible, Nip.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. You know who I do think is terrible?
Peasants.
I was gonna say the person lording over us, but okay, sure. Yeah, the peasants.
I guess it depends on perspective.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The word rose to renewed popularity in the 1940s and 1960s as a collective term, often referring to rural populations of developing countries in general as the semantic successor to native, incorporating all its condescending and racial overtones.
Okay. Mm.
The word peasantry is commonly used in a non-pejorative sense as a collective noun for the rural population in the poor and developing countries of the world. Via Campesina, an organization claiming to represent the rights of about 20 million farm workers around the world, self-defines as 200 million farm workers around the world. Thank you, Lord. Self-defines as an international peasants movement as of 2019. The United Nations and its Humane Rights Council prominently uses the term peasant in a non-pejorative sense, as in the UN Declaration of the Rights of Peasants and Other People Working in Rural Areas, adopted in 2018. In general, English language literature, the use of the word peasant has steadily declined since about 1970. So apparently peasants was like popping off in the 1970s. I don't know what we did to change it, but we should bring it back.
Well, I just don't imagine, like, I don't know. I've seen some old movies. I don't really remember them using the word peasant. Maybe it was just like an unspoken thing. Like you say at the home, you don't say out in public. Oh, those peasants that just moved in. Like, yeah, I can't imagine, you know, like that 1940s, 50s, like speakeasy talk, like, yeah, see, get over here, you little peasant. Like, it just doesn't match what's in my head about what's going on during that time.
I thought it was cool that apparently they're trying to take out the pejorative scent.
I think that's cool as well, but also I think I can hear you through D-Fire's mic too. You're kind of reverbing.
Quieter. Also, your mic is a little airy, by the way.
Mine? Mm-hmm. Okay, we all got to work on our mics today.
What about my mic?
Crystal clear.
Awesome.
Quieter. We can all just speak really quiet. I could be like the ASMR thing? You know what I mean?
Good idea. Your mic better when you're quieter.
No, yeah, why? Right? It sounds wonderful. Yeah, I put my mouth closer to it. Yeah, it's like right in front of me. Like if I went even closer, I feel like it would just, I don't know. I feel like I would eat my mic. So, you know, yeah,
that up close and personal. That is a technical term for it, eating the mic, yeah.
Oh, wow, look at that.
So I'm gonna bring it back to for a second. I'm not sure I know what pejorative means. Like I think, okay. Because I was like thinking of context clues. I was like, I have no idea what that means. But okay, I don't know. It's just like, can you really take out like a pejorative meaning out of it if it's something that was originally intended to be, you know, like it's always just gonna have that sense, right, of talking down to someone. Like it's like called peasant. There's other words for that grouping of people. It just seems like they want to use that word for fun, like how they want to take out like monkeypox or whatever and like call it something else because like there's some type of negative connotation with that, and they want to call it like, they just wanted to rename it, but it's just like I don't know, it's a weird tangent to go on.
I almost got the sense from an article I've seen about peasant as a word that it was like we live off the land. It's almost like a less loaded word for like European redneck or something, where people are like, I'm proud to be a peasant, like we have a rich history of living off the land and doing something useful, not just making cat videos.
But cat videos are so great.
True, but that's my sense of it, Craig, is that like people sort of reclaim this word to have like a positive meaning. It's like I don't know, that's I can give you is like it's like a European redneck kind of word or something. But anyway, I maybe it'll tell more later.
Maybe the reason we didn't see like the use of peasant in the 1970s is because it's basically like a European term and we've already kind of moved on from it.
Mm-hmm.
maybe over in like Germany and England or wherever, they're stuck on peasants. Or I guess they're moving on from it.
Or they're trying to bring it back, just in a non-pejorative sense, though.
Yeah.
Not an unpleasant sounding word.
I think peasant sounds really nice.
Better than hick.
Yeah, it's way better. Like, it's I would rather be called a peasant than a redneck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any day. Does anyone want to continue on with maybe etymology or social positioning?
Sure. Etymology, the word peasant is derived from the 15th century French word passant, I believe.
Like a croissant.
Meaning one from the pays or countryside, ultimately from the Latin pagus or applying administrative district. You know, social position.
That actually does sound like a very French word, like you peasant.
Get a little more throat in there, Craig.
I'm hearing an implicit pejorative connotation from French accent.
I'm just saying it in the native French tongue.
I feel like everything. Well,
Wiki Lickers, we're very worldly here.
It's not offensive if it's French, right? Because everything is offensive when it's French.
I didn't want to say it. We're gonna,
Wiki Lickers, we're going to slowly make every country and culture angry at us over many years.
Wiki Lickers, the peasants of all podcasts.
We can never go to England. We know that already.
It's not peasant. It's peasant.
You know that meme that's like, I dropped my croissant. It's, I dropped my puzzle.
Oh, no. Social position. Peasants typically made up the majority of the agricultural laborers in a pre-industrial society. The majority of people, according to one estimate, 85% of the population in the Middle Ages were peasants. The peasant is a word of loose application once a market economy had taken root. The term peasant proprietors was frequently used to describe the traditional rural population of the country in countries where smallholders farm much of the land. Small-scale agriculture model?
No, I guess it's just like farming for your own like needs, maybe?
Yeah, like I keep thinking of the word homesteader. Mm. More generally, the word peasant is sometimes used to refer pejoratively to those considered to be lower class, perhaps defined by poor education and or lower income. I can keep going, the medieval European peasants?
I think you should keep going.
I was waiting on the word to speak.
I actually don't know how to make decisions for myself. I'm sorry.
If I acknowledge this, it makes it real. It's like speak in the name of a demon.
Please tell us what to do.
Craig, it's real if you acknowledge it or not. It's always going to be there, man. It's always going to be there.
All right, we continue then. We continue on.
Yes, okay. Lord.
Medieval European peasants, the open field system of agriculture dominated most of Europe during medieval times and endured until the 19th century in many areas. Under this system, peasants lived on a manor presided over by a lord or a bishop of the church. Peasants paid rent or labor services to the lord in exchange for their right to cultivate the land. Fallowed land, pastures, forests, and wasteland were held in common. The open field system required cooperation among the peasants of the manor. It was gradually replaced by individual ownership and management of land. The relative position of peasants in Western Europe improved greatly after the Black Death had reduced the population of medieval Europe in the mid-14th century, resulting in more land for the survivors and making labor more scarce. In the wake of this disruption to the established order, it became more productive for many laborers to demand wages and other alternative forms of compensation, which ultimately led to the development of widespread literacy and the enormous social and intellectual changes the Enlightenment.
So you're saying that if we just give workers what they want, we'll achieve a state of enlightenment.
What do you think about that, Lord?
We haven't learned from that at all. That.
Well, we can't give workers to what they want until a lot of them die from some natural.
But current events.
That's why we're ruining the environment, right? So we can get workers right.
Well, I mean, for a little bit, we had like work from home, I guess, but I guess not enough people died for us to keep it like that.
Oh, God. You know,
Just doing some math here, nothing to look at. Yeah,
that's one way to put it, maybe.
I mean, it was also all like old people who died, so they probably weren't part of the working force, so it probably didn't matter at all.
The sheer calculation is very lord-like of you.
Yeah, this entire conversation is very lord-like of you.
The evolution of ideas in an environment of relatively widespread literacy laid the groundwork for the Industrial Revolution, which enabled mechanically and chemically augmented agricultural production while simultaneously increasing the demand for factory workers in cities. Thought that sentence was going somewhere else for a second. Who became what Karl books called The Proletariat, The Trend Towards Individual Ownership of Land, typified in England by enclosure, a term used in English land ownership that refers to the appropriation of waste or common land, enclosing it, and by doing so, depriving commoners of the rights of access and privilege. Interesting. Displaced many peasants from the land and compelled them, often unwillingly, to become urban factory workers who came to occupy the socioeconomic stratum formerly the preserve of the medieval peasants. This process happened in an especially pronounced and truncated way in Eastern Europe. Lacking any catalyst for change in the 14th century, Eastern European peasants largely continued upon the original medieval path until the 18th and 19th century. Serfdom was abolished in Russia in 1861, and while many peasants would remain in areas where their families had farmed for generations, the changes did allow for buying and selling of lands traditionally held by peasants, and for landless ex-peasants to move to the cities. Even before emancipation in 1861, serfdom was on the wane in Russia. The proportion of serfs within the empire had gradually decreased from 45% to 50% at the end of the 18th century to 37.7% in 1858.
That's pretty fascinating.
I feel like that was a mouthful, but yeah, that was a lot. I feel like the migration of the peasants, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I can do early modern Germany and France. All right, well, in Germany, peasants continued to center their lives in the village well into the 19th century. They belonged to a corporate body and helped to manage the community resources and to monitor community life. In the East, they had the status of serfs, bound permanently to parcels of land. A peasant is called a Bauer in German and a Burr in Low German. What is Low German? Is that just like an area?
Peasant
like
talk.
So,
of course, the Lord wouldn't know what low German is.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. But a low German or low Saxon is a West Germanic language variety spoken mainly in northern Germany. I hovered over it. Okay, so northern Germany and the northeastern part of the Netherlands. The dialect of Plutdeutsch is also spoken in Russian. Mennonite Dysphoria worldwide. The Russian Mennonite Mennonite. Yeah, the Russian Mennonite Dysphoria worldwide.
It's diaspora.
Yeah. You know, I've only ever read that word. I've never had to say it out loud. And I just I've never had a reason to until just now.
All part of the Wikilickers experience, boss.
Stop throwing those in there. All right, anyways, in most of Germany, farming was handled by tenant farmers who paid rent and obligatory services to the landlord, typically a nobleman. Peasant leaders supervised the field. They had peasant leaders.
Wait, okay, so if the three of us are peasants, who's our leader?
Yeah,
Gabby.
No, I don't. I vote Nip for the peasant leader.
Nope. I'm a pure, simple peasant. I'm bound to this land.
I'm the most peasant that's ever peasant in my entire life. I can't even imagine what it would be like to tell someone what to do. So I feel like I would not be the peasant leader. Dustin, you must decide.
Gabby.
No!
Are the rules of peasantry and leadership, those who don't want it must do it.
No, wait, Nip, I got this. You know who seriously doesn't want it? You know I don't want it, you don't want it, but Dustin there, D-Fire, he definitely doesn't want it.
The decision's already been made. You're not tricking me into that.
No.
Typical peasant middle management trickery. I'm not falling for running around way too long on this field.
I think it's even worse to be a middleman. My job's not secure in the case of layoffs. Come on.
You get blamed for everything.
No. This is the worst position. God, I wish I was lower. I wish I was more peasantry. I wish I was more of a peasant. Or was it like a peasant?
It's more in the back of the throat. Like,
it's like you're accidentally saying it while you're coughing.
Yeah. Wait, let me try that. No, I don't think it works.
That was pretty good, though.
It was good. Yeah, that was a really good transaction. All right, but anyway, so peasant leaders supervised the fields and ditches and grazing rights. Maintained what? That. Sorry, that's what they. That's what they did.
That's what they do, Yugi.
grazing rights. maintain public order and morals, and supported a village court which handled minor offenses. I feel like these supervisors had like a lot more power and authority than, I don't know, than like a supervisor does now.
No.
You gotta delegate.
Yeah, I mean, they're over there like holding like small little like elections, it seems like, and maintaining public order, and now
this just sounds like so much work.
Now you just tell people how fast to push a button on the assembly line, or you tell your Amazon workers that they gotta pee in bottles.
Yeah. The good old days.
Actually, you know, peasant life doesn't seem too bad now, but it probably is going to get worse. This is also Germany. Like, they're usually pretty good about, like, I don't know, like, land use and neighborhooding. And
I don't know. So this is during, like, the 19th century?
Yeah.
What was Germany also doing during the 19th century?
Well, so that'd be, like, the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
What were they doing in the 1800s?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. Early term Germany. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, Germany is like a weird place. Like, let's not.
Yeah, they are kind of weird there.
Yeah.
We're never going to be able to travel. Oh.
There's got to be a country we haven't offended.
Wiki Liquor's World Tour.
They just start throwing tomatoes at us. Like, oh yeah, we paid $5. We got to spend an hour just throwing tomatoes at the WikiLeaks.
We go to England, I get especially pelted.
Oh, you're going down in England.
They're gonna hate me in England, God.
They don't have air conditioning. Oh my God.
They're gonna be so hot and sweaty when they pelt me with these.
And the worst part of it, you know, is you won't be able to find anything with any kind of seasoning on it.
Unseasoned tomatoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, well, this tastes like crap. Let's just throw it. You can't make it taste any better. So just throw it around.
One thing I think of when I look at this is I think farming is actually super hard, like physically just very, very, very hard. Day in, day out, sun up, sun down, all the children are working. Like, I think it's pretty grueling. I see this little picture of these people dancing and having a good time. I don't think that's what they were doing very often.
You don't dance and have a good time when you're farming?
Probably not. I think it's like backbreaking. You know, you're like a grandpa at 35, you die at like 37.
Honestly, yeah. I would love that my life expectancy would only be to 37, you know? I feel like you just short and sweet. That's the way to go, man. Right?
That's an interesting opinion. Not very many others agree with
you. That's peasant talk.
Yeah, that's peasant talk. Look, see, Nip is the leader. He's the leader.
I forgot where I was with this now. Let me see. So we were talking about supervisors. Okay, so the supervisors had were supervising the grazing rights, maintained public order and morals, and supported a village court which handled minor offenses. Okay, so inside the family, the patriarch made all the decisions and tried to arrange advantageous marriages for his children. Much of the village's communal life centered on church services and holy days. In Prussia, the peasants drew lots to choose conscripts required by the army. The noblemen handled external relationships and politics for the village under the control and were not typically involved in daily activities or decisions. So yeah, early modern Germany, that's what they were doing by being peasants.
Gabby screwed.
Oh wait, your favorite section's coming up here. France.
Yeah. So on to France.
Do you want to pass it off to Nip? I don't think he's done a paragraph yet.
There's still a lot to go though.
There's so much to go. This is true.
Yeah, I could keep going with France.
Cool.
All right. The French puzzle. Information about the complexities of the French Revolution, especially the fast changing scene in Paris, reached isolated areas through both official announcements and long established oral network. Peasants responded differently to different sources of information. Hmm. The limits on political knowledge in these areas depended more on how much peasants chose to know than on bad roads or literacy. Right? So the limits on political knowledge in these areas depended more on how much chose to know than on bad road or illiteracy.
I feel like this is a typo of some kind. Yeah.
Weird sentence. But anyways, historian Jill McCulk. I don't know. How do you say that? Jill McCulk.
I would say like Maciak.
That doesn't sound French. It would be like Jill Messahawk.
Or like maybe like a chi, like a mechi, mechiak,
masiak.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Anyway,
nailed it.
You gotta put more throat into it.
You gotta put more throat into the French. But historian Jill Massaic Mackinac, however you say it, concludes that peasants were neither subservient, reactionary, nor ignorant. In the seminal book Peasants into Frenchmen, the modernization of rural France. So they didn't really consider them French at that time. They just were just peasants.
No.
is that what that title's implying? That they weren't really like people?
Maybe.
Anyways, so historian Eugene Weber traced the modernization of French villages and argued that rural France went from backward and isolated to modern and possessing a sense of French nationhood during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He emphasized the roles of railroads, Republican schools, and universal military conscription. He based his findings on the school records, migration patterns, military service documents, and economic trends. Weber argued that until 1900 or so, a sense of French nationhood was weak in the provinces. Weber then looked at how the policies of the Third Republic created a sense of French nationality in rural areas. The book was widely praised, but some argued that a sense of Frenchness existed in the provinces before 1870.
Pretty cool topic. There's a whole nother page on French peasants. That's kind of neat.
I feel like this is if peasantry leads into nationalism, and then nationalism leads into, I guess, capitalism or a capitalist society, then what's next? Are we on the verge of
AI overlords?
Hopefully.
I'm so excited for AI to take over the world. I've told you guys this multiple times.
We've been saying it for years, practically. Yeah. From birth.
Practically. I came out of the womb and went, goo goo gaga, when is AI taking over my life?
Pretty much.
Please, AI, make all the decisions for me. This is hard.
Turns out we really suck.
AI, we're not good. You're better. Trust me.
All right. Does anybody want to take on a Chinese farmer?
I think it's my turn. D-Fire, you think maybe muting your mic will help? I don't know. You can mute and unmute. Yeah.
Yeah, go
for it. Okay. Chinese farmers. It says, see also agriculture in China. Farmers in China have been sometimes referred to as peasants in English language sources. However, the traditional term for farmer, Nongfu, simply refers to farmer or agricultural worker. In the 19th century, Japanese intellectuals reinvented the Chinese term Fengjian, or feudalism, and Nongmin, or farming people, terms used to in the description of feudal Japanese society. These terms create a negative image of Chinese farmers by making a class distinction when one had not previously existed. Anthropologist Myron Cohen considers these terms to be neologism that represent a culture and political invention. He writes, the divide represented a radical departure from tradition. Mr. Mo and or F.W. Mo and others have shown how, especially during the later imperial era, the Ming and Qing dynasties, China was notable for the cultural, social, political, and economic interpenetration of city and countryside. But the term Nongmin did enter China in association with the Marxist and non-Marxist Western perceptions of the peasant, end quote, thereby putting the full weight of the Western heritage to use in a new and sometimes harshly negative representation of China's rural population. Likewise, with this development, Westerners found it all the more natural, in quotes, to apply their own historical derived images of the peasant to what they observed or were told in China. The idea of peasant remains powerfully entrenched in the Western perception of China to this very day. Interesting. I didn't quite understand all that, but I get the gist of it, I think. Modern Western writers often continue to use the term peasant for Chinese farmers. Just typically without, I threw one in there. Without ever talking what the term means. This Western use of the term suggests that China is stagnant, medieval, underdeveloped, and held back by its rural population. Cohen writes that the imposition of this historically burdened Western contrast of town and country, shopkeeper and peasant, or merchant and landlord serves only to distort the realities of the Chinese economic tradition. Okay, so they're just saying like Westerners showed up and like they didn't really understand what was going on, so they just sort of overlaid a previous understood system or one they felt like they understood. Is that what you're getting out of that, Craig?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea I'm getting.
It seems like it would probably be interesting to know what the real situation is, but that is not the focus of this WikiLickers. Moving on to Latin American farmers, this is a short one. In Latin America, the term peasant is translated to campesino or campo, country person. But the meaning has changed. This goes back to the thing we said, Gabby, like redneck. It's like kind of like, oh, country boy or whatever. But the meaning has changed over time. While most campesinos for the 20th century were an equivalent status to peasants, they usually did not own land and had to make payment to or were in an employment position toward the landlord, the hacienda system. Most Latin American countries saw one or more extensive land reforms in the 20th century. The land reforms of Latin America were more comprehensive initiatives. They redistributed land from large landowners to former peasants, farm workers, and tenant farmers. Hence, many campesinos in Latin America today are closer smallholders who own their land and don't pay rent to a landlord, rather than peasants who don't own land. Okay, interesting. So this concept has kind of gone a few places. Greg, who would you like to read historiography? If I can say that. I'm willing to read it.
Well, I'm going to defer and let our supervisor.
That's right. The supervisor takes care of local matters. You as a lord only take care of external big matters. That's a good point.
Right. Yeah.
I hate this. I hate every second of it. I want nothing to continue. I just want to be a mere little peasant. This is why I'm so excited for AI. AI wouldn't try to give me power.
Yeah. Being a lord isn't that bad.
We learned so much. Also, I want to say for the record, Gabby, this sort of propaganda of a short life is better sounds just like leadership talk to me.
How is that leadership life? That is pure peasantry. You're like,
no. Don't stop being a peasant. Look how great it is. You only live to 37. It's the best.
Look, guys, a pizza party.
I don't see pizza parties. Oh man. Okay. I don't know why I just did it. I just pronounced that as hysterectomy or something like that in my head, and I was like, wait, no.
Word.
Yeah, it was a whole different one. I'm gonna say either Nip or Dustin does the last section, and you can fight to the death over it.
Well, I'll just do it.
Fight.
Historiography in medieval Europe society was theorized as being organized into three states: those who work, those who pray, and those who fight. The Annales school of the 20th century French historians emphasized the importance of peasants. Its leader, Fernand Braudel, devoted the first volume, called The Structures of Everyday Life, of his major work, Civilization and Capitalism, 15th to 18th century, to largely silent and invisible world that existed below the market economy. Other research in the field of peasant studies was promoted by Florian Zanenicki and Zhaitong.
Yeah.
And in the post 1945 studies of the great tradition and the little tradition, in the work of Robert Redfield. In the 1960s, anthropologists and historians began to rethink the role of peasant revolt in world history and in their own disciplines. Peasant revolution was seen as a third world response to capitalism and imperialism. The anthropologist Eric Wolff, for instance, drew on the work of earlier scholars in the Marxist tradition, such as Daniel Thorner, who saw the rural population as a key element in the transition from feudalism to capitalism. Wolff and a group of scholars criticized both Marx and the field of modernization theorists for treating peasants as lacking ability to take action. James C. Scott's field...
Wait, that was us earlier. Are we peasants?
James C. Scott's field observations in Malaysia convinced him that villagers were active participants in their local politics, even though they were forced to use indirect methods. Many of these activist scholars looked back to the peasant movement in India and to the theories of revolution in China led by Mao Zedong. Starting in the 1920s, the anthropologist Myron Cohen, however, asked why rural population of China were called peasants rather than farmers, a distinction he called political rather than scientific. One important outlet for their scholarly work in three was the Journal of Peasant Studies.
I kind of like what was said at the very beginning, that I guess at least in medieval Europe, society was theorized being organized into those three estates: those who work, those who pray, and those who fight. I kind of like that theory. I think most of that still applies to today. I think many of us have kind of gone away from those who pray, and maybe it's drawn back a little bit from those who fight. I feel like more of us just work, and maybe that may lead to more of a peaceful society, because even though, you know, there's like things going on in the world, things are getting a little bit more peaceful.
Uh-huh. love what you're saying here, but where's the section for those who sleep? Because I feel like that's my section. Like, if I were to categorize myself as anything, for like, what is my job in life? My job is to sleep.
A 37 perma nap, dirt nap.
You've heard my thought theory about how I would love to be in like my own induced coma. Like, if I could just take a year off, you know, just like a coma for a year, it'd be wonderful. Like a long sleep, be so good.
You already spend if you get 8 hours of sleep a day, you're already spending like a third of your life in sleep.
Not nearly enough.
Yeah, not enough. This is true. I need more time. I can't wait for me to get older and walking gonna be harder. That way I can spend more time in bed.
Next week we're gonna do health something.
It's probably gonna say something like don't drink energy drinks or something. Mm-mm. Anyway, I did think that Three Estates thing was kind of interesting to kind of ponder over as and I feel like for those who work, we're starting to get more theories around that kind of societal behavior and like just creating more nuanced ways. Like I said, the peasant revolution was seen as a third world response to capitalism and imperialism. So yeah, I think that Three Estates is just getting more into maybe 2.5 too. And I don't know, like, it's just kind of interesting seeing what happens next in the world, especially with like AI and stuff. What's going to happen to like the working class?
For sure. Basic universal income, maybe?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yay!
That'd be great. Woo! I would spend so much time doing useless stuff. Well, not useless. Somebody would find it valuable.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people were farmers because it was necessary to survive. Now, what percentage of people are farmers? Like 1%, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we don't need the... We work smarter, not harder for food production, even though there's way more people. It doesn't take as much effort to do that job anymore. We're moving on to bigger and better
more
things.
Efficient at doing that job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, okay, so if Twitch has taught us anything, that you don't necessarily need to do anything of quote unquote importance for people to find it valuable. You know, if Pokemon cards have shown us that as well. Like, you know, there's just TikToks of people just opening up Pokemon card pack. We'll just tune into that. I don't know.
I once read this fan fiction. It was a Harry Potter fan fiction centered on what if Hermione and George Weasley got together, right? And there's an entire backstory of it. And this fan fiction, this one single one done by one specific author, had over 1 million words. To put that into context, the entirety of Game of Thrones, every single book combined, is only like 800,000 words.
And they did that free.
They did that for free. That was it's just so long. They did that for free, you know.
Did like you read the whole thing?
Yeah, it's still being updated. It's
has that kind of time.
The true lord here.
I'm waiting always for it to end. It only has 5 more chapters, but it takes her some time to write it. So you know, I get it. The story is about to conclude. There's like this plot, and like I don't know, people are trying to kill people. It's very action packed. It was wonderful. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was very good. It was well written too. I would totally read it again. It's just so long. Anyway, even if you don't give them money, people will still do the things they like. You don't have to give them money to do it. Look at fan fiction writers. They do that shit for free.
Yeah. So if we do this AI thing and automation thing right, it would just, you know, free up more energy and time to devote to fan fiction.
We need
more
fan fiction. Honestly, I would love more fan fiction. I love fan fiction. I feel like fan fiction gets this bad rap because there's the whole, like, when it first came out, people are just looking at, like, the super, like, sexual stuff or whatever. But usually it's just, like, well-written, like, well, okay, some of it, you have to find the good ones. But it's just, like, well-written little books of, like, what if? Like, what if this happened? What if that happened? Usually authors, before they become an author, they write fan fiction. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna read a little bit more about that Three Estates theory. I feel like there's more to that. I don't know, that just seems like an interesting theory, because in the Those Who Fight kind of, like, if we lean more towards that, get like nationalism and like World War I and II and all that fun stuff, and then, you know, Those Who Pray, you get like the Pope when he was running stuff for a while. That's just such an interesting way of thinking about like society. I feel like I gotta go read more into it.
Are they the people who sleep? Because if you think about it, what is praying except for a very long sleep?
That's not how I've ever heard that described.
You know what I mean? You're like sitting there, you're like praying. I'm doing air quotes.
Laying in bed.
Yeah, you've got to close your eyes to pray. You know what I mean?
I guess I've heard it as a precursor to meditation, maybe, but I've never heard it.
What are dreams if not prayers?
It sounds like, Craig, you may have a budding interest in anthropology.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I just like to categorize things, I think. That's just the simplest way to categorize people. Those who work, those who pray, and those who fight.
All right. Well, to end our Wiki Lickers today, we can just go by saying, what is everyone? Are you a worker? Are you a prayer? Are you a fighter? Craig, you start.
I'm a lord.
And any final thoughts?
I'm not sure what I learned today, but I'm glad I learned it. I'm not sure what the encompassing theme is, but I certainly did learn some stuff. I feel like I have to learn more about it. It was a very interesting topic.
All right, Dustin.
What am I supposed to say?
What are you from the three things? A prayer, a fighter, or a worker?
Mm.
And then any final thoughts for today?
Well, that's a difficult question because you could argue that you might have time to do each of those things, but
that is true. But which one?
As far as what defines me.
Mm-hmm. Please define your entire existence in one word. Go.
Food coma.
Oh, man.
Damn, that's two words.
You can just end with coma. That's fine.
Yeah. That's all I got, really.
Yeah, see, you're in my boat. You're just waiting for one good coma. I totally agree.
But then if you go into a coma, you can't have Uber Eats.
They can just do that in your sleep, you know? Technology's intense.
Just put it in the tube.
If I finally perfect lucid dreaming, I can totally have Uber Eats in my dream.
Ooh, true. I bet it would taste better, too.
It'll taste how I want it to taste. I don't know what to say. Please move on.
All right, Dip, I think that's you.
So I can hear myself over yours, Dustin. I am definitely a sleeper. I cannot claim to be a peasant because I don't think I do the labor that someone in that category does. I feel like it's probably really hard work and a certain way of life.
So would you say you're more of like a supervisor?
Nope, definitely not a supervisor. Too lazy for that. Wait, hold on a second. I may be backing into a corner here. Nope, that's all I have to say. Like Craig, I'm not sure what I learned, but I also enjoyed it. Per usual, I do a fair amount of learning when we do these. So thank you, Craig.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that's everyone's little final thoughts for the day, we all learned something. Cue the Nickelodeon outro music. And Wiki Linker out.